You may have seen this morning's paper, which had an article attempting to explain the origin of Easter. Unfortunately, the so-called experts cited approach it from a perspective that failed to focus on what Easter is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we read all four of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, you will notice that nowhere is the actual event of the resurrection described. This is the most important miracle, event, and sign of Jesus' life, yet there is no eyewitness account. But we base our most profound faith on it, as well as our hope for resurrection. We can only turn to the encounters of those who saw Jesus in the flesh after his death. We do not use the words apparition or experience of Jesus. Those words often describe a personal or subjective event, possibly a figment of one's imagination. No, we base our faith on the witness of those who spoke and ate with Jesus during the 40 days after Easter. Their testimony helps generate our certainty, even with the questions we sometimes have. Yet in the end, we cannot forget what St. Paul said, that Jesus could only be seen by those who believed in him. For those who struggle and wonder and approach purely from a scholarly point of view, we might say there is an additional proof or insight for the truth of what the Gospels report. Yes, there are some contradictions and variations in each of the four Gospel accounts. Never about the basic truth that Christ rose, but the details. For example, Matthew has two Marys coming to the tomb as the sun was rising. Only then an earthquake signals the descent of the angel to roll back the stone while the guards are still present. St. Mark places, again, two Marys and another woman, Salome, at the tomb just after sunrise, with the stone rolled back and no mention of guards. St. Luke just mentions the women coming at dawn with no guards and the stone again rolled back. Matthew and Mark tell us that there are two angels present. Luke just gives us one. And John, whose gospel we just heard, the last to be written of the four evangelists, has Mary Magdalene come alone, as we just heard, while it is still dark. The stone is rolled away, no one is in sight, not even an angel. And so she runs off to inform the apostles. The point is that the evangelists would have gotten just one story straight if they were contriving the resurrection to deceive the world. What is necessary to remember, however, about Jesus' resurrection is not the scholarly details, although important. Thus for us gathered here, family and friends, today, ultimately Easter is the resurrection. And the question to be asked of all of us, what would our lives be without the dying and rising of Jesus? His resurrection changes everything. Given the horrors of sin in our world, and the increasing godlessness in areas of the world and countries that were once known to be Christian, and the certainty of our own death, again, the question, what would the world be without a God-made man who has risen from the dead? Rising from the dead defeats the fear and the suffering and death, and it heals the wound of sin and defeats the power of evil in the truth of God's love and mercy. Each of us must ask ourselves this question. Again, what does the resurrection mean to me? And what difference does it make in our lives? Accepting, even with our questions, and again, we are in good company, the apostles themselves, as you know, had their doubts, especially Thomas. What impact, however, does this have in your life and mine each day? Faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah who died and is now alive. it creates a new identity in each one of our lives. Because our hope has a face and an identity in the person and the life of Jesus Christ. Just look to Peter and Andrew and James and John before they met Jesus. They were simple fishermen who worked hard to support themselves and their families. They lived with the reality of the occupying and often cruel Roman authority, where men were lucky to make it to the age of 40. Death was always close by. And as faithful Jews, they held faith in God and the promise of the Messiah. Prior to Jesus, this was longed for generations of believers. And part of the life of a faithful Jew was to wait for the Savior. But now Jesus has come, the long-awaited hope is fulfilled. But our hope is different because it is seen and realized. We have a Redeemer who lives and dwells in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so our hope is both here and beyond. Jesus is our certainty and providence in this world as we hope for eternal life. As believers, whether lifelong Catholics, those who were received into the church last night or baptized at the Easter Vigil, those here present who still are searching and wondering who Christ is in your life, we know that Christ offers us hope. We know we live in a divided and often wounded world and nation and even church. How do we strengthen hope and make sure it is not optimism, which is nothing more than wishful thinking, often out of touch with what really is? No, hope grows directly from the Lord's rising from the dead. Fear and death are related. Fear clings to control, but the dying and rising of Jesus transforms that fear into the hope of mercy and forgiveness, and again, the promise of eternal life. How do we build hope? Well, the words of Jesus, the starting point, do not be afraid. Those words that were spoken earlier by the angel. Believe in Jesus, humbly, with all your heart and even with your questions. Trust in him in good times and in bad. And know that belief in Jesus always involves love of God and neighbor. It calls for us to be a people of charity. Yes, we have needs and responsibilities, and some even here have burdens that seem at times overwhelming. But how do we sustain hope? Be in relationship with God, knowing that the path to holiness must begin in humility, look to gratitude, and express itself in generosity. There is a need for each one of us to have prayer in quiet by ourselves, but to be in a community of faith as we have gathered here this morning at Mass in the church that Christ has found. Relationship with God allows us to know we are his beloved sons and daughters, created in his image and likeness. And despite any hardship, Jesus' love and mercy allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from sins forgiven, mistakes forgotten, and new life made possible for all who seek it. Easter reminds us it is never too late to start over, that Jesus doesn't care where we have been or what our past has been. What matters with our Lord and for us is where we are headed. Listen to the lives of those present here, perhaps family members or friends, who either have become Catholic recently or their whole life. Listen to their stories, their struggles, but also the peace and joy they have with their faith. We all have difficulties, some more than others. And we know this is a troubled America and a world and a society fractured and even division in our church. But in the resurrection of Jesus, our hope is confirmed with the light of Christ that has overcome every darkness. The victory is won. He is risen, and his glory will be ours one day. He is alive, and through the Holy Spirit present in our midst, we can be alive in him. Let us then on this Easter morning give praise and glory to God for the gift and the promise of Jesus risen from the dead. Do not be afraid.